Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week at On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and I want to wish everybody a beautiful weekend. I'd like to thank my wonderful host, the co-host, for joining me, Dr. James Moore. Good morning, bro.
Good morning. Doing well, you?
Not too bad. Lady Treese, good morning. Glad to have you with us today.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
All right.
And for those of you that have already looked at it, it says profiles and courage or calculated risk. We're going to touch on some things today. Just questions. Today's our called our round table. That's our thing. Now, many folks have been comparing and contrasting their perspectives on courage. What is courage? What makes a person courageous? How should society view someone's courage overall? And on this roundtable, we're going to address some of those perspectives and share some of our own. I'm gonna start it off. It's something that everybody and their grandmama been talking about. Bruce Jenner. I don't get it. There's a gentleman, and out of respect for him and his family, military, Marine, just came back home and had lost two of his legs, both those appendages. Was in a firefight, IED, came crew, blah, blah, blah. And he dragged two other people to safety after losing his leg. That was courageous, because I'm pretty sure that a lot of people at that moment probably would have been concerned about their own well-being. But then they had this Arthur Ashe Award for courage, and it's at the ESPYs, and they gave it to Bruce Jenner. Now, Caitlyn Jenner, his alter ego, and I'm a little dismayed by it. I'll tell you. Reason being is this. It's cool. If you want to cosmetically enhance or change what you were born to be something else, and the technology is there for it, so be it. But was it courageous that you did it? Or was it a degree of either self-satisfaction or conceit, a touch of vanity. And the way society and the media especially have been painting these pictures is as if this is the thing to do. And you're not supposed to have anything to say about it. But here's something else that's been wildly overlooked. other people have been doing it. I don't see any fanfare for him.
Here's my take on it. You know, I think that depending on who you are, you have different levels of courageousness. There are different levels of courage. Because, you know, I've worked in the culinary industry, and I've heard someone refer to a chef doing something different with food as courageous and bold and, you know, outspoken. Now, that's in that arena. I think for Jenner to be the, at one point, the archetype of what a male figure was in terms of winning the decathlon in the Olympics, that made him basically, for that time frame, for that epoch, the man. And I think that's the particular piece or component of courage they're talking about. Does that make him more courageous than the Marine? Now, I've been a Marine too. So more courageous than the guy who drugged two people away from the IED? In my lens, not really. But it's a different type of courage. Now, I'm not saying that his is less or more, but as a Marine, I'm going to say, hey, pulling guys out of an exploded vehicle with or without legs is tough. Now, is it tough for Jenner to go through what he went through, being the archetype of masculinity for you know, the 70s? Maybe, but I think what's happening is the world's lens is changing. And, I mean, we talked about this in another episode. We talked about how young boys, when our kids fall, our little boys, we tell them, don't cry, you know, rub some dirt on it, get up, you'll be fine, you know, be competitive. Right. And if our little girl falls, we, you know, we kiss her boo-boo and put a bandage on it, it's a Bactine or a Band-Aid or, you know, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that what's happening is the world is shifting. And I'm not saying that's neither good or bad. I think the world in general is evolving. And who's to say if that's good or bad? It's just changing.
Well,
go ahead, Therese. I'm sorry.
I feel like the media does certain things to distract your attention. We have so many other serious things that's going on, far as with Sandra Bland, the massacre shooting that just not occurred in Carolina. The police cases that we have. I mean, I feel like they take your mind off of other things and focus on this.
And the four Marines that were killed at the recruiting depot?
Yeah, you got so many other things that's going on, and that's no disrespect towards him or whatever. Don't get me wrong, but I don't see why he should get an award for switching his sex. That, to me, that bugs me.
And on line with what James is saying, and I get it, it's like this thing. D.L. Hughley had just made a quote. Had made a quote that he didn't. He said, "I don't get it." Arthur Ashe stood for civil rights, and he was a big proponent of the fight against AIDS. And how he went about it was a courageous way to go. And then this and other people that were recipients of that award, totally something different. And to me, I'm believing that the definition of courageous is being curtailed into being a specific thing so that a group of individuals can, so it could be a wellspring for a group of individuals to just be able to be out front. That's just my opinion. That's my opinion. The Bland thing, they said the officer was courageous to put himself in harm's way. What? Oh, my God. Their view is skewed.
Okay, Trey, I agree with you.
The has changed incredibly.
Well, and that may be the case, because I'll tell you what I've seen being in the education field. I remember growing up, it used to be a good thing to be smart. And then I heard folks started calling people who were smart and carried books home after school that, oh, you're just a schoolboy, you're a schoolgirl, or you think you're educated, you think you're smarter than us. And being smart became a bad thing to some degree in some circles, not all circles. But what I noticed as time has gone on with the school system changing and, you know, the whole No Child Left Behind and these different perspectives and disciplinary issues, it is, in some lenses, you might say that folks want the vast majority of denizens to be cattle. Because being smart, speaking out, stepping out, if you do that, you know, you're shunned for doing that. I remember, you know, during the whole process of running for president, they mentioned that President Obama, you know, who is he to be using big words and eating arugula? And I thought, you know, being smart and healthy, when did that become a bad thing? And I think that what's happening is, if you are dumb, and no disrespect to anybody when I use this terminology, but if someone's dumb, it's easy to guide them the way you want them to be. It's why we don't hunt cows. We just push them down a little tract and pop them in the head with a .22 caliber piece of metal and then turn them into steaks. They don't run. They're cows. And if humans are turned into cows and we act like cattle, well, it's easy to round us up. I mean, think about how we go into a bank and they put these little strips out and make us walk back and forth like cattle to get to the teller who's right in front of us. You know, we're cattle. And we don't complain.
There were three conquerors. Esvain, Kublai Khan, and what's his name? The little short guy who had small man's disease,
Napoleon
Bonaparte. Yeah. Did you? Each one of them said something that was just thought provoking. And since you said it, he says, and because they were conquerors in their own right, they each said the same thing: people are sheep.
To some degree, that is correct.
People are sheep, and I believe that the media has turned into one of those outlandishly sickening, misguided, view-impaired conquerors, and everyone who pays attention to them, and they guide lifestyles, they're turning them into sheep. And that's not courageous. That's not courageous.
Well, Trey, let me add to that. I want to say that American people tend to be sheep more.
Step outside. Step outside of the status quo. Step outside of what people consider the new norm. It's courageous to step outside of what people consider the new norm and stand your frickin' ground. Stand your ground. Believe in something that you believe in. And that's courageous. Don't have to follow
everybody. And I agree with that. I think that Americans, because we're so ethnocentric and so many other things, it's easy for the media to lead people. The media is a massive misguiding machine, as you mentioned. I think if you listen to news from other countries about the United States, you get a completely different view. And it's interesting, if you ever, I don't know if you have satellite radio or ever listened to it, but if you listen to like the Canadian news when they talk about the United States, or the BBC or anybody else's news when they talk about the United States, it's a different view. And I think that that's part of it. I think that we've kind of, I hate to use the term blaze our own trail, but we have. And you know, just because you're a trailblazer doesn't mean you're always going in the right direction. And that's by no means to say that everybody in the United States is corrupt or going down the wrong path. But I think it's very easy because society has changed so much with a lot of the things that have happened with, you know, breaking down of the, you know, the normal home arrangement where we have like a mom and a dad. Dad, you know, does X and mom does Y. Well, both parents are working. Now we have latchkey kids and all these different things. Well, now those kids are more open to the suggestions and susceptible to different perspectives because mom and dad aren't there to say, hey, no, little Jimmy, that's not how it goes. It's more like this. And I'm not saying every parent's right because, you know, we all knew some jacked up parents, you know, growing up, some that, right, that, you know, and I understand there's no book on parenting, but there should at least be a parent in parenting. And when our kids are parented by a television or parented by the internet or texting or all these other things that we deal with now that weren't around, we have to look at things are changing, perspectives are changing, the world is evolving, and there may be some things we don't agree with, but we have to adapt, unfortunately, to what's going on. That's just how it is.
That's the sad part. To adapt to so much craziness. I mean, especially when you're raising kids, like what kind of message are you giving to the kids that it's okay? That if you are a little boy, that when you get older, you can switch to a little girl. We always put out here that you have to raise your kid in a good moral standing, or to raise them to be respectful, to be caring. But when you see so much bullcrap on the television, with the advertisements, cartoons, movies. How can you, I mean, how can you raise them in the right way? It's so much negativity that's being, you know, that's being perceived from television to the videos to what they see in school and to the whole nine.
Well, I think we have to curtail that, Therese. I really do, because, you know, there was a limit to how much TV we were allowed to watch as kids.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Well, wait, you know, and our parents sat down and watched those shows with us, and if they weren't wholesome shows, they were turned off. And there's a lot of unwholesome shows on television now.
I agree, but hold on.
And I watched them a lot, I'm not gonna lie.
On the line of courage, now they say you're courageous to call in on a parent who disciplines their child. The media and the state have become so influential into the upbringing and the rearing of our children that it's almost non-frickin' existent.
This is the thing.
It's courageous to check your child. That's nowadays, unfortunately, it's courageous to check your child. You know, he goes inside the store, he throws a freaking tantrum, he's 9 years old, he tells you to shut up. You know, oh my God, leave me alone.
Every parent
in the store is thinking, what are you allowing this child to do? And then you got that one woman, that one dude over in the corner. Yeah, you, the person listening right now, you did it. And you know it was wrong. The mother grabs the child, picks him up off the floor, and he says, hey, you better put that in check before I kick your neck. And they go, oh, my God. Did you see that? Oh, my God. She threatened the child. Look, my mom threatened the dog snot out of me. I don't go around shooting up schools. My mom kicked my tail. I don't go around shooting people in theaters. My mom stomped a mud hole in my butt. I do not shoot public officials, civil servants. My mom put me in check. I did not take guns to school when I was 15, 16 years old and shoot up my classmates. My mother talked to me like I was the child I was. She didn't deal with me on an adult level. She used adult conscious thought and adult common sense to address me as the child I was. And you parents out there who believe, let your child just be free, let them do what they want to do, you'll regret that when the cops bring your kid home for, I don't know, dressing in all black with spikes around his neck and a 50-foot mohawk, one eye black like clockwork orange at the age of 10 years old because he punched his teacher in the mouth because she told him to sit down. Okay, that was extreme, but the point is things like this happen because our parents aren't being courageous enough to be what they really are. Parents. That's just my opinion. I'm just saying.
Well, you got a little venom this morning. I'm digging it. All right. Well, shoot. Let's talk about what happens behind some closed doors, man.
There you go. Oh man. We want to discuss what happens when things get going tough in a relationship. And why do things change? I mean, what do we do to keep that flame burning? We've addressed this, and you know, some people say, I don't want to hear that, but then you have other people that say, yeah, you know, I really want to know. How do we rekindle that heat or that fire, that steamy passion? How hot relationships, how's it fading? You know, why is it fading? That's the thing. Lady Treats, any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, of how to keep a relationship going. For one, you got to have trust. You know, and you got to communicate, you know, without no trust or communication, a relationship really can't go far. Once trust is broken, it's hard to get it restored. For me personally, I can't speak for everyone, but for me personally, but I mean, I am big on trust, communication, and being honest with one another. that's how we make it going. I mean, you, of course, as a, you know, I look at couples and I see, like, how can they be together for 10, 20 years, 30 years? You know, you ever see some older couples and they've been together for 10, 20, 30 years? To me, that's amazing. Yes. You wonder how they keep their relationship going like that. I mean, of course, it has to be interesting. Every relationship has its ups and downs, but you better believe there's a lot of trust and there's a lot of communication and there's a lot of bonding for them to be together that long. So I say for me, it's trust and communication to keep it going forever, to keep that fire burning.
And see, I think you also have to keep it fresh.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you know, a long time ago, you know, I used to be married. And when I first got engaged, I remember I was at my adopted sister's house. And her mom mentioned, she was serving food, and she mentioned something to my sister, like, don't put so much food on your plate or whatever. And then she went over to my fiance's plate, and she just piled it up. And I gave her a look kind of like, what's up with that? She's like, oh, she's got a man already. She doesn't have to worry about it. And I thought, wow, that's a different perspective.
Oh, but
you know, and I'm not saying it's all about physical appearance, but it's about, you know, you got to care about the relationship. You know, I can't say, well, now that I've got a lady, I don't have to, you know, get my hair cut every week. I don't have to put on nice smelling cologne. I don't have to iron my clothes or every now and pick up that barbell or that dumbbell and do a few curls. That stuff doesn't go away. I don't have to stop, you know, putting flowers on the bed or, you know, hey, you know, I picked this up because I was thinking about you. When that stuff stops,
and
I think that's why it fades.
Yeah. Unfortunately, people believe, you have people that believe that. Now that I got you, I don't need to do all that because that was just to get you. But look, I'm not perfect. So far from it, it's incredible. But what I do know is this. There's nothing, it doesn't take anything for you to say a kind word. It doesn't take anything for you to pay a compliment. It doesn't take anything for you to pay attention to the fact that baby just did her eyebrows a little bit different this week. It doesn't take anything to notice,
once in a while.
You know, those little things. It doesn't take anything to smack her on the back of the butt and, psh, I just wanted to say hello. You know, nothing wrong with that. My thing is this.
Treacy laughing a lot at that. What's up?
You know, because, you know, so Treacy had that booty clap one time.
Don't get me wrong now. Surprise your mate every once in a while. Don't come with the same old. Surprise your woman every once in a while. You know, let's go here. Let's do this. Do something different, spontaneous. You know, something that gets her interested. Do something different.
Ladies too. There was a song that Destiny's Child put out. I'm not saying you have to go to any extremes, but there was a song that they put out, and it was called Cater to You.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
It was just some of the things they said. She said, I promise to keep my hair right, you know, keep still dressed nice, keep the body tight. Oh, okay. And you put the roles over, flip the reverse, and you know, fellas, If ladies, if you see your fella doing a little bit of work and he's actually doing something, and don't look at him and go, oh, why are you trying to fly your tubby boy? You ain't 20 no more. Well, maybe that would spice things up. If he was 20 again, get your back broke and be happy about it. And that's just me. But my thing is, push it, support it, because the moment, and fellas, if your girl says, I'm a little heavy, you know, say, babe, you know, you look good, but if this is what you want to do, let me help you. Help. Put your hands out there.
Trey, I'm with you, and I think sometimes you do have to kind of do things to kind of keep, you know, keep the spice up there, keep the heat up there. And can I share a story with you? I'll make it short.
Go ahead.
All right, so this was my attempt. When I first got married, I lived in Hawaii. I was stationed in the military out at Kaneohe Bay. And my spouse worked 3 to 11 at the hospital. And I thought, okay, she's working this Saturday. I'm going to spice it up a little bit. I'm going to hook it up. So I went out and I got a bottle of wine, some strawberries, and, you know, some little, you know, just little things to kind of do like a little indoor picnic. And I cleaned the whole entire house. I mean, I dusted, rearranged furniture, you know, waxed everything. And I set out this little spread on the floor with a little sheet and some candles. And I heard her coming up the stairs, and I turned out the lights and tried to be all romantic and led her into this little indoor picnic with the wine and the strawberries. And, you know, everything went well. And, you know, I'm still on the path of trying to keep this thing spicy. So what I ended up doing is afterwards I blew out the candles and just kind of wrapped the sheet up and pushed it to the side. And trying to be a gentleman and be romantic like I've seen on the movies, I led her to the bedroom. Now, my intent was to push her backwards onto the bed and then pounce on her, much like you see in the movies. And when I did, I forgot I had moved the bed.
Oh,
and I heard
no.
the loudest thud. She
oh,
hit
no,
the floor
God.
In the dark, and I didn't hear a sound. I turned on the lights. Now, I'm on a military base because, you know, in the military base, you put your hands on your spouse, you go directly to jail. And the only thing I thought is they're going to see this wrong. They're going to see it wrong. I don't want to go to jail. I want to go to jail. I turned on the lights. She's holding her elbow. Her mouth is wide open. No sound is coming out. And I'm thinking she's broken arm. And finally, when she did make a sound, she was laughing. She had hit her elbow on the dresser. And she said, "That is the funniest thing that's happened to me all day. I needed that. I had a horrible day, whatever." And, you know, I'm thinking this has gone horribly wrong because she, you know, like I said, I expected to hear, you know, someone hit the mattress and, you know, a cushiony sound, and I heard thud. So it was really bad. But my attempt was to do exactly what we're talking about. It turned out horribly wrong, but the intention was good. So my only thing I'm going to say is you can do those things. Just remember, if you move the furniture, to put it back in place or turn on the lights, perhaps.
You know, James, you always have some good, funny stories. I swear you do. Your stories are funny, my man.
That's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, you know it just happens, you know.
I figure... You have to, no matter what's happening at the moment, play through it. I figured it would be real cool to take some lotion, some baby oil, heat it up, it was wonderful, joy, heat up the baby oil, wonderful. And I said, okay, great, put that over on the side, get this over here, get a little strawberry, some chocolate, put that on the side, made the little pillows all fluffy, poof. And all right. I said, okay, well, you know, easy on alcohol. So I got a cooler, put in it. I chilled the glasses. It was just right. Bah, peach Melba. Said, wonderful. This is going to be great. Yeah, great. Got it over there, set it down. Yeah, just go ahead. Try to put on my best impression of Bettina Berry White. Go ahead, sit down, relax. You know, but Go ahead, girl, sit down, relax. Can't do that without cracking. And so I'm like, okay, I sit her down, and I grab the oil, and I go, I'm trying to be all cool and smooth about it, put her feet up, and I grab the oil. It's hot as
hell.
Oh,
no.
And she goes like this. She's, oh, no, you ain't going to put that itch on me. You know, the moment was gone. But she went like this. She said, okay, I'm gonna give you cool points for what you was trying to do.
Okay.
She said, but,
okay.
We are not going to stall a sister. And my thing is this, in closing, it was incredible for the simple fact that the moment kept going. So if there's anything that I would tell anybody out there, keep the moment going. If you had a rough day at work, that was at work. That was at work. And when you come home, that's supposed to be your relief. He is supposed to be your relief. She is supposed to be your relief. And all you got to do is just remember that. Live in that moment and play. Don't argue. Don't talk about money for the first 5-10 minutes and just say something off the wall. Girl, all day long, the only thing I could think about was something sexy, and then I see you, and I'm happy. Look, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top, mate. Every thought you have be grand, and may every idea you have be warranted for every step you take and every endeavor you make. May they always be on point. Thank you, guys.
Have a great week, everyone.
See you later. Peace.
Peace.